passed by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, let me stop there because the word prophesy is mentioned. In that verse there, what is prophecy, prophesying, what is it likened to? What, I ask you, what activity goes along with prophesying in that verse? Because a lot of times, prophesying, we often think of, oh, you're going to tell me what's going to happen in the future. But look at that verse. It says, prophesy upon these bones, and then it says, say unto them, O ye dry bones, what are they supposed to hear? The word of the Lord. So prophesying in your Bible has to do with proclaiming what? God's word, yeah. Tells you right there in that verse. So watch what happens. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God, unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And behold, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So you got these bones coming together, but they don't have life because they don't have breath. How can you tell if a person is alive or not? If you've ever done CPR, if you've ever been trained in CPR, you do ABC, airway, breathing, circulation. And one thing you can just look at, you know, obviously you can take the pulse, but one thing you can look at is if the chest is going up and down. And if it is, what does that indicate? They're breathing. Okay, so there's a body, or there's bones coming together, but there's no air in them yet. But watch what happens in verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy, and this is interesting, unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Interesting verse, we'll come back to that. Let's finish up, see what happens here. Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Okay, so that whole section there is about the restoration of the nation of Israel. There was a time when that nation appeared to be dead. And then in 1948, after World War II, what happened? They got their own land, and they were welcome to go back there. And the Jewish people are alive and well. There's been times where it looked like they might not exist anymore, but they are alive and well, and there's coming a day when it will actually be a restoration much greater than today, because the restoration of Israel is when Jesus Christ comes back to reign over. Okay, that's a whole other thing. I want to look at verse 9, and it says there, verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, son of man, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Okay, so I'm not going to tell you the topic here this morning. I'm trying to just pave the way. But I want you to notice in that verse that wind goes hand in hand with breath. You see that? Now, you put your hand in front of your face, and you blow on it. Or if you just talk and you have your hand in front of your face, you can feel the what? The air that's coming out of you onto your hand. You can feel it, but you cannot see it, right? If you walk outside, probably not right now, because it was still already pretty warm when I came in this morning. But sometime during the day, or at least most days, in the summer, it's really a great thing to get, even if it's only 30 seconds, to get a little breeze, right? And what is a breeze? How would you define a breeze? It is a little stirring or blowing of
the wind.
Do you see it? Do you feel it? Yes, it's unseen, but it is felt. So wind, in that verse, is connected with breath, and when he prophesied, the breath entered the bones. So you could also say, you could add this to the mix. To prophesy, a person has to speak. To speak, you have to have air or breath, right? Now let's add another element to this, and then I'll hopefully kind of show you where we're going. Go to Job chapter 8. We'll be all over the place this morning. Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8. Some nuggets all through the book of Job. You know, we often focus on how bad it was for Job and then how everything's much better at the end. And that's true, but there's a lot of little nuggets all through the book. Look at verse 1 and 2. 8:1. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, how long wilt thou speak these things? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Y'all see that? The words of thy mouth like a strong wind. Now, you have probably heard somebody say before, maybe in reference to a politician, maybe. That guy's full of hot air. Hopefully not in reference to a preacher, although I've heard a few preachers that are just full of hot air, which means they really don't have anything to say. There's just a lot coming out, but there's no substance to it. So, aside from that, look what we got here so far. Wind and breath, you can understand the relationship there because air is involved in both of those. Prophesying requires breath. And then in that verse we just read, words are connected with the wind. All right? So let me show you where we're going here. Go to Psalm 147. Next book in your Bible after Job is Psalms. Psalm 147. So not only are words compared to the wind, specifically somebody's words are compared to the wind. Psalm 147. And look at verse 18. Psalm 147, 18. He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. Two things that start with a word there, and they have the word his along with them. What do you see there? He sendeth out his word, and this is talking about the Lord, and then it says, he causeth his wind to blow. So I'm just trying to show you, there is some kind of relationship in your Bible between words and wind. Go over to John chapter 3, something really interesting about the wind over here in John. You've probably seen this before, but maybe you haven't seen it connected with this other stuff. So let's take a look. John chapter 3. Should be a well-known chapter to you. Been in church a while. This is the chapter about the new birth. By the way, anywhere along the way, if I lose you, stop me. Try to get us on track. Or if you have a question, ask. Don't be afraid to raise your hand and ask. John 3, Jesus and Nicodemus. Look what he says in verse 3, John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Good question. Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Notice two births in that chapter. Water, that would be when you were born, physically, and Spirit, that would be if you're saved, when you were born again. Verse 6 sheds light on it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Just a little side note before we go on. Verse 6. Do you see the two birthdays in verse 6? You see those? Do you have two birthdays? What? Two birthdays? If you are saved, you were born of the flesh on the day that the IRS and everybody else in the world wants to know for information that was your birthday when you were born physically. For me, it was 11-11-72. That was when I was born of the flesh. Notice the second half of the verse. That which is born of the Spirit. so if you have been saved, you have been born again. I can't tell you the exact date of my spiritual birth. It was either June or July of 79, right around there. I couldn't give you the date, but around there. Do you have a date for your spiritual birth? Maybe you don't know the exact date, but do you remember a time? I hope you can say yes to that, when you were born again. Now, when you got born again, did anything, as far as your appearance, did anything change? The way you look? No. But did something change? Something spiritual changed drastically. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So if you're saved, you became a new creature on the day you're born again. Okay, side note there. Go on to verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And verse 8 is our verse here. It says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and now hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Okay, so are you seeing this? Now I see. The Spirit of God, I'll make sure I clarify that. The Spirit of God is compared to wind. Y'all see that? Now, I'm going to ask you. You have to participate on this part. How is the wind like the Holy Spirit of God? Give me some things here. Let's see if we can make a list. How is the wind like the Holy Spirit of God? Okay, invisible, yet as real as can be, right? What else? Yes, in Florida, you really know this. And I grew up in the panhandle of Texas with tornadoes and found that out at an early age. Powerful. Again, I'm going to add here, yet unseen as far as you can't spot it and say, there's the wind. You can't see it. So what do you say instead? Look at that tree over there. It's bending. And you see the force and the power of the wind. But you don't see the wind, right? Now, you might say, look at what the wind is doing. But it'd be kind of a silly thing to say, look at the wind, because you can't see the wind. But it is as real as can be, and it is powerful. Very good. What else we got? Wind. How's the wind like the Holy Spirit of God? Anything else? Anybody? Okay, there's something to that. Now, wind is not alive. But with breath being connected with life, and wind being similar to breath, we can say that. So there's something there, yeah. What you got, Brandon? See the wheels turning. Oh, man. Very good one. Now, yeah, so ask a meteorologist, which way does the wind go? What are they going to tell you? Well, at 1 o'clock, they'll tell you one thing. At 1:30, they'll tell you something different. At 2, you know what I mean? Predicting what the wind is going to do is extremely difficult. Okay, it's virtually impossible to be right all the time on that. But nevertheless, there's movement. And the wind will stir things up, won't it? You can't see it, but it'll stir things up. Now, you know what's interesting about that, Brandon? The first time the Spirit of God is mentioned in your Bible in Genesis 1, you know what it says? Miss Cookie's got it. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I was at the beach the other day. A buddy of mine I work with, you'll get a kick out of this, Chris. He gave me a surf lesson. I didn't do so hot. But not only do you have the power of water out there, but the power of the wind as well. And that's two forces that, and again, being on the Space Coast, you know this very well. Anything else? Those are really good, folks. Anything else? How's the wind like the Spirit of God? The wind is everywhere. Is there anywhere you can go where there's no wind? It might be a while, but sooner or later. And nevertheless, even if you can't feel it, there is obviously movement of air, correct? Now, I'm glad that we mentioned these two right here, because it took me 15 minutes to get here, but let's talk about movement of air in a specific manner. So, If you would, go to back to Old Testament, Job. Job 38. And if you're taking notes, we'll come back to this because this is really important, particularly these things. Connection between wind and breath, prophesying, speaking God's words and breath, words and wind, and God's spirit and wind. So with all that in mind, before we read this, I want to remind you, you've heard this before, but it's always a good reminder, God in His Word often uses physical things to teach us spiritual truths, right? Hank's had the opportunity here recently in the summer to show off the snakes, right? And aren't there lots of spiritual truths you can show with those little reptiles? All kinds of things. And God actually uses the serpent in your Bible to teach us some things. All through your Bible, God uses animals. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. God uses physical things to teach us spiritual truth. So we're not just going to talk about wind today, but some special wind. So Job 38 is going to tell us. Look at verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of what kind of wind? The whirlwind. And notice what it says right after that. It said, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said. Then he goes on there, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? The whirlwind in that verse is connected with God speaking. So, to get your mind on whirlwinds here for a moment, the subject here is whirlwinds. To get your mind on this, a whirlwind is, by definition, a column of air moving rapidly around and around in a cylindrical or funnel shape. You've got some whirlwinds that are considered major whirlwinds, like tornadoes and waterspouts. And then you got minor whirlwinds, dust devils and debris devils. Y'all ever see those? Little dust devil. Growing up in the panhandle of Texas, I would see these all the time because you got a lot of plains out there with not a lot of trees. And certain times you see like some dust just kick up and it looks like a little cyclone, sometimes about as high as the pew there, just going along there. Say, how does that work? And you can't really explain it. But you know that there's air moving around there in an organized fashion. Isn't that something? Kind of like the Lord. You can't explain His work, but He moves, and He moves in an organized fashion, doesn't He? So the whirlwind, I want you to see there, the whirlwind is connected with God speaking. So some famous whirlwinds here before we get into the scriptures here. Some famous whirlwinds. I could not help but go back to 1939 in a particular musical film that was released. Miss Judy knows exactly where I'm going there. In fact, the movie star of this movie has the same first name, Judy Garland. What movie, folks? The Wizard of Oz. And in that movie, Dorothy and her dog Toto are carried up by a whirlwind. And where do they end up? In the land of Oz, surrounded by these weird little creatures called Munchkins. Strange film, isn't it? Very odd. I remember when I was a kid, it would come on once a year. And we would always watch it. And it's entertaining. But now that I'm older, I haven't watched that in years. But if I was to watch it, I'd say, that's creepy. Very strange. I can't explain a lot of the things in that. And I don't know if anybody can. But there's a famous tornado in that movie. Obviously, it's not real. But I want you to remember that. In the movie, a girl and her dog are whisked up in the air by what? A tornado or a whirlwind. You want to remember that because we're going to come back to that in a second. Famous tornadoes. March 18th, 1925. A powerful tornado touched down near Ellington, Missouri and moved to the northeast quickly, devastating everything in its path. It stayed on the ground for 3.5 hours. That's almost unheard of when it comes to tornadoes, but 3.5 hours. And it went from Missouri, it went to Illinois, and then to Indiana before it finally dissipated. It killed 695 people and injured more than 2,000 people, and to this day is the deadliest tornado in American history. They call it the Tri-State Tornado. 1925. Interesting. Tornadoes. Famous whirlwinds or tornadoes. This is not a famous whirlwind, but this is an interesting reference to a whirlwind. You know who Chuck Schumer is, right? United States Senator, Democrat. 2 years ago, in March of 2020, he was addressing a crowd of abortion rights demonstrators, and he referred to two Supreme Court justices appointed by President Trump, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, and here's what he said. These words came out of the mouth of Chuck Schumer. You ready for this? Quote, "You have unleashed the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hits you if you go forward with these awful decisions," end quote. I don't know how much Bible Chuck Schumer knows, but I do know that the King James Bible just makes its way into the modern-day vocabulary, even in 2022, and a couple years ago now. And he says, "You've unleashed the whirlwind." Now, what did he mean by that when he said, "You've unleashed the whirlwind"? What was he trying to say? You have made a decision that is extremely powerful and will affect a lot of people. Isn't that interesting? He equates the whirlwind with power and affecting a lot of people. But that was pretty wild. So, a couple things that whirlwinds are connected with. Whirlwinds are connected with, first, you know, I always have to have a three-point outline. So let's look at number one. God's presence is connected with the whirlwind. So you remember Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz getting whisked away. Check this out. Go to 2 Kings 21. 2 Kings 21. Now, this is my personal belief. You don't have to agree with me on this. I'm sorry, 2 Kings 2. I got the wrong chapter, I believe. 2 Kings 2. Yeah. 2 Kings chapter 2. You don't have to agree with me on this, but I personally believe that there are no original plots for movies or books. I think you can find in base form every plot you could ever read in a book or watch in a movie has its foundation in the Scriptures. If you think about it, I'll give you one example. Hercules from mythology, right? Where do you think the story of Hercules maybe originated? What do you think? Hercules is a strong man, right? Where do you think that very well originated? Original plot, Samson, yeah. Strong man. Isn't that wild? And there's a whole lot like that. But this one is a complete ripoff. Well, The Wizard of Oz is a complete ripoff of this one. Let me show you. 2 Kings 2:1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. All right, go down there to verse 11, and you'll see that it actually happens. Same chapter. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a what? Whirlwind into heaven. So, the whirlwind is an indication that that's the Lord's presence. And by the power of God in the whirlwind, Elijah goes from down here to way up there, a different place. Now compare Dorothy and Toto with Elijah. Dorothy gets whisked away in a tornado, and she ends up in a place she's never been before, and it's very unusual. Right? Elijah gets... No, that didn't happen, by the way. That's fictitious. But Elijah really did. This is a true story. Elijah really did get whisked up in a whirlwind into heaven. Do you think he'd ever seen anything like what he saw once he got up there? I would say no. Heaven is not like earth. A lot of things that are up there that are not down here and vice versa. So you see how there's one case where that plot from The Wizard of Oz, that first little scene there, they had to rip off the Bible to get that, didn't they? Now, again, I don't think they went to the Bible and said, "I'm going to take that." But it's interesting how the devil is always the mastermind of imitating, right, and stealing and so forth. I think he does that a lot. Influences people to do things like that. Okay, go on here to Job chapter 40. Job 40. Be all over the place here, so bear with me. Hope you got your letting your fingers do the walking through your Bible. Job chapter 40. Now, we already saw this in chapter 38, but let's take a look at it again. You'll see the Lord wants to establish something. He'll give it to you more than once. 40 verse 6. Job 40 verse 6. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the what? The whirlwind. So are you seeing here? When the whirlwind shows up in your Bible, in this case, God is right there in it and he's speaking out of it. Now, you've been in Florida for a while, you've heard the noise that the wind can make during a hurricane. Now, the one I remember the most, Matthew, that's what it was. Remember that one? 2016, 17, right around there? Is that what it was? That was a scary one. That's the one where they said, if you live on the Space Coast, you might not have a house when this is all said and done. You know, just like the news to try to scare you to death and get you to get all freaked out. So I remember Sherry and I did really well. We were living over in a two-story townhouse in Rockledge at the time. And we were doing really well with not panicking. And do you know why we were not panicking? Anybody want to guess? Okay, two things. You got the second one. We paid zero attention to what the news was saying because I know how they do whenever this stuff happens. And number two, I said, we're just going to trust God for this. And if it ends up destroying everything, we'll hang around and try to clean things up, try to help other people. That's kind of what I thought. So we get a little closer to 6-7 hours away to when they said it was going to make landfall. And guess what we did? Sherry and I made the huge mistake of doing it. I just think I'll see what they're saying. Curiosity, right? Let's see what they're saying. And the warnings got even more severe. Y'all remember this? And basically, they said, if you're staying in town, you're out of your mind. In fact, I got a friend of mine that used to live here. I went to college with him. He lived here, and then he moved back to Louisiana. And he texted me and says, hey, man, please tell me you're not staying for that hurricane. I said, yeah, man, it's going to be fine. Now, at that time, I was already panicking a little bit, but I told him, I said, yeah, we'll be fine. He's like, you need to get out of there. And he had friends that lived here that he knew when he lived here. And he's like, they all got out of here. He goes, you need to get out of here. I was like, no, man, we'll be all right. Lord, take care of us. So you remember what happened? Lord, take care of you? Sure did. Now, I remember it was probably 2 or 3 in the morning. And it went on for, about an hour, hour and a half. We slept upstairs. I went downstairs in the middle of this thing. I just kind of wanted to see how everything was doing. And that sound of the wind was eerie. Y'all remember that? It was a little scary. It was horror movie-like. Just listening to that thing, I was like, man, it was whistling. And it was doing some damage, but thank the Lord, it was at least where we lived and most people lived. It was a lot of trees and limbs and that kind of thing, and that was most of the extent of it. I know other people had some pretty severe damage, but most folks made out all right on that. But I bring all that to remembrance to remind you that wind is powerful. And God uses wind, the whirlwind, to indicate his own presence. And the second thing we're going to get to is his power. So, a whole bunch of verses on this. I'll just take a few here. I think I got 7 or 8. We'll look at 3 or 4 of these. Second thing associated with the whirlwind is God's power. Now, for Elijah to get whisked away up and not return, that took a pretty powerful whirlwind, wouldn't you say? So, you see, in that whirlwind that he was caught up in, there was God taking him up, and there's also the power of God in the power that the wind had to take him up. So go over to, we're in Job, but go to Psalms. Go to Psalm 58. So we'll take a look at, try to keep some of these close together here. Psalm 58. We're doing okay on time, so maybe I'll look at 4 or 5 of these rather than just a couple of them. Psalm 58. And what's the word you're looking for here, folks? Whirlwind. Hopefully you got that. God's power. All these have to do with God's power connected with a whirlwind and being likened unto a whirlwind. Look at verse 9, 58:9. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. Now, God's power is often manifested when he brings judgment. And we've seen that a few times here in Brevard County with hurricanes and winds, haven't we? And I think that you could probably make a case there's been times where God said, hey, I'm trying to get your attention here. Bring a little judgment to your town, to your area. I think I mentioned this the other day, a week or two ago. About 3 months or so after Hurricane Katrina, my parents were living outside of New Orleans at the time. This is 05, so it was either late 05, it's probably late 05 when I went, yeah, probably Christmas. A couple months after Katrina, I flew to New Orleans and flew right over what looked like a war zone. The pictures you see of weapons, all kinds of wartime weapons, taking things out and making things bare and desolate, that's what it looked like. And there was no weapons involved. You know what it was? It was wind. It was rain. It was God's power manifested. And I think everybody, whenever Katrina happened, they said, well, it was going to happen sooner or later to that city, right? And if you've never been to New Orleans, you're not missing a thing. People say Las Vegas, New Orleans, very similar. I've been to New Orleans. I don't really want to go back. Saw the good part of New Orleans, which is not much. And I don't really have any desire at all to go to Las Vegas because I think the only good thing would be lights, and they're not even real. They're artificial. You see all those pictures, and all this is just a bunch of lights. So stay away from those places because God often brings His judgment on those places. And in the case of Katrina, that was a big win. So I noticed that God's wrath connected with the whirlwind in that verse. Okay, go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. The whirlwind connected with God's presence, and the whirlwind connected with God's power, and even in judgment. Because God, whenever God judges, oftentimes it is an awesome manifestation of His power. Okay, Proverbs 1, this whole section here, I won't read all of them, but this section is aimed at people who reject the Lord and His Word. And if you look, it says what God will do one day whenever they say, we want to get right, when it's too late. Look what the Lord says here, verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a what? A whirlwind when distress and anguish cometh upon you. So notice the whirlwind is connected with destruction and obviously God's judgment upon the wicked, upon those who have rejected the Lord there in Proverbs 1:27. So, how about another one? Go to Proverbs 10. Whirlwind connected with the power of God, the judgment of God, God and His wrath. Proverbs 10, look at 25. Good one to connect with chapter 1, verse 27. Proverbs 10:25. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. So notice that's God's judgment upon the wicked. And the whirlwind passing over them, and what happens to them once the whirlwind passes? They are no more. Hopefully you can associate yourselves with the second half of that verse, being the righteous because of Jesus Christ and having an everlasting foundation. All right, go to Isaiah. There's a bunch here in Isaiah. Let's look at a couple of them. Go to Isaiah 17. The whirlwind. I think there was only 27 verses in the Bible, if I remember right, that the whirlwind's mentioned, but I tell you, you can put a lot together here when you start to study these. Oh, by the way, no single mention of the whirlwind in the New Testament. Kind of interesting. I don't know why God chose to do that, but they're all in the Old Testament. If you got anything on that, let me know, because I hadn't really come up with any kind of good reason why that's the case, because the Lord wanted it to be like that, right? 17:13. Isaiah 17, look at verse 13. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. Now, what do you see the whirlwind connected with there in that verse, folks? What's that? Movement, but also are you seeing there the nations rushing together, and the Lord rebukes them. And then it says the whirlwind there at the end of the verse. There's God's judgment there in the whirlwind. Because look at 14. It says, and behold, at evening time, trouble. And before the morning, He is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us and the lot of them that rob us. So there's more judgment upon the wicked with the whirlwind there. Very interesting. Go to Isaiah 41. Look at another one here in Isaiah. Isaiah 41. God's power in the whirlwind, God's judgment seen when you study that whirlwind. Isaiah 41. Go down there to verse 15. 15 and 16 here. This is more of God's judgment. You see a lot of this in Isaiah. 41:15. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills a chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away. And the whirlwind is going to do what? Scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. So the Lord there using the whirlwind to scatter. And again, that's more of God's judgment. So you see God's power, God's judgment in that whirlwind over and over. How about one in Jeremiah and one in Hosea, and then I'll get to this last little thing here. Go to Jeremiah. So three more places altogether. Jeremiah, go to chapter 30. Jeremiah 30. A couple more here on the power of God and the judgment of God specifically seen in the whirlwind. Yeah, this is a good one with judgment. Go to the end of the chapter, verse 23. 30:23. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 23. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days he shall consider it. So what do you see God's judgment connected with there? God's fury? What's it connected with? The whirlwind. You see in there something consistent over and over. Now, I told you that old Chuck Schumer quoted the Bible, or he actually kind of made a reference to the Bible. Let me show you that. Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8. This may have been what he was referring to, and it's kind of interesting how people actually make reference to Scripture and they don't realize they're referencing Scripture. Hosea, Joel, and then Amos. So right after Daniel. Chapter 8 of Hosea. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Good thing about that verse right there with sowing and reaping. What is worse? As far as, or what is more powerful and can be more severe? Wind or whirlwind? Obviously, the whirlwind, right? In that verse, the wind is sown, the whirlwind is reaped. Good little lesson you get from that verse, and you get through this other places in the Bible. You always reap more than you sow. Do you know that? You reap more than what you sow. So if you sow the right things, you'll reap a lot of good things. And if you don't sow the right things, you'll reap a lot of really bad, troublesome things. So, reaping the whirlwind. All right, last one here. Go over to Nahum and let's wrap this thing up. Nahum. So, Jonah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, chapter 1. So, we had God's presence, God's power. We saw a lot of God's judgment in God's power, those references. How about God's plan? You've got to be kidding me. How can God's plan be associated with the whirlwind? Well, let me show you here. Real neat verse here. Verse 3. Nahum 1:3. It says there, the Lord is slow to anger. Can you say amen to that? I'm glad that he's like, because that would be, got to be gone a long time ago if he was quick in his anger, especially whenever certain things that maybe places you've gone or things you've done. The Lord is slow to anger, things you've said. Then it says, and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. Watch this part. The Lord hath his way in the what? Whirlwind and in the storm. This is a neat little reference here, the last part. And the clouds are the dust of his feet. To the Lord, clouds are nothing but dust. We're kind of fascinated with clouds, and they're like the dust of his feet, says there. The clouds are the dust of his feet. So what's that thing about the whirlwind? It says the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind. So good ending here for us all. How many have been through a storm of life? You ever been through a little storm? Maybe a little storm, maybe a big storm. And what do storms bring? They bring rain and oftentimes wind. And according to that verse, folks, don't take my word for it. Look what the verse says. It says the Lord hath his way in the what? In the whirlwind. So a lot of times we think, oh man, this is a real tough time. This is one of those storms of life. Maybe God's judging me here. And it might be, but also it might not be, because there are times when God puts you through the tough times and it's his way. Amen. It's hard to say amen to that, isn't it? But let's say amen to that. And if his way is to let you go through the whirlwind, he'll get you through the whirlwind, won't he? Amen. In fact, look at verse 7 to end up here. Same chapter. What does it say there? Even though the Lord has his way in the whirlwind, it says the Lord is what? Good. This is a great verse, by the way. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. He knoweth them that trust in him. Who do you trust when the whirlwind comes? If you're trusting you or anybody else besides the Lord, you're going to end up flat on your face. It's going to be tough. But the Lord sometimes has his way in the whirlwind. And even though he has his way in the whirlwind, what's verse 7 say? He is still good. He is still a stronghold. Amen? So, I only hit maybe 15 to 18 of the 27 verses. So, you can study the rest on the whirlwind. There's a whole lot of neat stuff on that thing. But hopefully this will whet your appetite to get into it a little bit more. All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for how you show us so many spiritual truths through the little things that we oftentimes ignore and don't even think to take into consideration. I thank you for showing us some things about the wind and the whirlwind and your power here this morning. And I pray that anybody right here that maybe right now or sometime soon will go through a little whirlwind, maybe a big whirlwind, that we trust you, knowing that you're good and you have your way in that. And I pray for this time that we will have here in a few minutes as we have an opportunity to sing, to praise you and study your word some more. I pray that you be glorified, you would lead. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.